Well, last week we finished our long study in the book of Acts, and we saw that Paul made it to Rome, and there he spent at least some 2 years under house arrest in custody with the Roman guard chained to him, at least at times. And as he was there, he welcomed anyone who would come to hear the word of the Lord. But we know other activities in which Paul was involved at the time was letter writing. And so I want to spend our time in the coming weeks, and then if all goes well through the summer, studying one of those letters that Paul penned likely while he was imprisoned in Rome. So I want to ask you to turn with me to the book of Philippians. This is a short book, a lovely letter that Paul wrote to his beloved friends in the city of Philippi. In some ways, there is just a beautiful note of joy, of connection with this church. You know, summertime is often a time of joy, so I thought this also might parallel some of that. But also a time when people are home more, and there's more tensions, perhaps. So this also might be helpful for us as we wrestle through some of these issues. Well, today we're just going to look at these first two verses, this opening of this letter. So let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Word of God. It's fascinating, the world we live in. Many of you have experienced tremendous changes in how you might receive letters. You know, we go from a postal system in which everyone longed, and we still do, right? We still long to receive literal letters. We run out to the mailbox, or at least I do, or my kids do, eager to see who might have sent us something. But we have other ways of receiving letters and messages, don't we? Our inboxes overflow with letters, messages, some which we do look for, some which carry important information, and others are just spam. And despite all the filters, some get through. And then we have text messages. We have personal text messages, and then we have advertisements and all kinds of messages. This morning, we're going to be starting a series looking at a letter, a message, one carefully composed, crafted to meet the moment of a local congregation, to express joy and thanksgiving, but also to meet the challenges that exist in the body of believers. There's lots of wonderful things that we get to see as we read through, as we work through the epistle, the letter to the Philippians. And I hope that, even starting today, that these words will bear on your life. Even though we're reading, I don't know if you read other people's mail, but that's what we're doing. I got an email the other day. It wasn't intended for me, and after I read the first couple lines, I thought, I better not read that. But this is one we should read. We ought to read it slowly, to digest it, to let this message, to let its words reach the recesses of our hearts, that we might join in and see ourselves as the recipients of the grace, of the peace that's proclaimed to the church in Philippi. Today, as we look at these opening verses, I want to just highlight for us some of these kind of opening matters. Almost all of Paul's letters open the same way. Paul, in some ways, follows just standard letter writing techniques of the day. So in the first place, we're going to see the slave authors. This is a little bit unique. Paul and Timothy, servants or slaves of Christ Jesus. So we're going to think about this. The slave authors. Then secondly, the saint recipients. All of God's holy people are saints. And so as Paul writes to the church in Philippi, he writes to all the saints in Christ Jesus. And then finally, we see this standard opening, grace and peace. You know, I titled the sermon, Greetings. And that might be appropriate if it was a normal letter, right? A Greek or a Roman might write a letter to someone with this opening, Greetings. But as we read Paul's letters to the Christian churches, it's not merely a letter. It is a letter that brings with it the very word of God. It is the very word of God. And we note these particularly Christian points in each of these three points. But especially here in this opening of greeting, it's grace and peace to you. Well, let's jump in, thinking about first the slave authors. Maybe you have a favorite author, and you know some things about that author. You know where he or she was born. You know the genre in which they write, and you expect with great anticipation their next novel or book. Well, in some ways, we can think about Paul along those same lines. We know he's an author of many letters, and we know the style with which he often writes, and we know who he is because we've just been studying him for many months through the book of Acts. But today I want to draw out some of the unique points that we see in this letter to the Philippians as Paul highlights that he is the author and Timothy's included, and that together they are servants, or again, maybe better, slaves of Christ Jesus. Let's recap just a little bit about Paul. Remember in our study of Acts, we saw Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles. The ascended Christ came in all his glory and blinded Paul on the road as he was persecuting the way. And after Paul's conversion, he was commissioned to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And we followed that as Paul went from city to city, first proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues as the fulfillment of God's promises. And then when they kicked him out, then he would go to the Gentiles. And if you remember Acts chapter 16, maybe turn back there just for a moment. I know it was quite a while ago now. I should have looked the date when we studied Acts 16. Page 924, 925 in the Pew Bibles. Remember, Paul was looking where to go, and in a sense, one way was blocked and another way was opened as we saw this Macedonian call. So the land of Greece, as we might know it today, Macedonia, we see this call, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so Paul goes to Macedonia and to this first city, Philippi. Paul has this deep connection with this church. But he includes Timothy. And you remember, again, still from Acts, that Timothy joined Paul in these missionary journeys and became, in a sense, a son of Paul by faith, a great and gifted helper and teacher in the churches. And that here, even in this church, this congregation, we see these connections with Timothy. But what I want you to note, you know, Paul often begins his letters, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, or something along those lines. That's absent here. That's kind of missing. And instead, as he includes Paul and Timothy, servants, or again, slaves of Christ Jesus. There's probably a couple reasons why Paul might use this terminology. You know, slavery was common. It wasn't like American slavery, but it was very common in the first century. Many people were slaves. Many even gifted people, maybe even many educated people. And even slaves could own other slaves. Kind of strange and confusing. But a slave was owned by someone and worked for that person. And so in some ways, Paul is highlighting this, that even though he himself is a Roman citizen, even as we'll see, he's writing to Roman citizens, he's a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is working for and belongs to Jesus. There's another way Paul might be using this, and this is maybe a connection with the Old Testament. You think about those great figures like Moses and even David who are called the servants of the Lord Most High. It could be also in this line that Paul picks up this thread. Again, hinting at the authority that he has as he writes this letter as a servant, as an authoritative messenger of the Lord God Almighty. And Timothy, interestingly, is included in this, partly because he's not going quite yet. It seems perhaps that Timothy's joined up with Paul in Rome at this point. And he is a faithful laborer alongside of him. Well, that gives us a quick overview, a recap of these slave authors, bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ, given to him to work and to serve him. Even as that pertains to all of these churches that have been planted, that are growing up, that are multiplying throughout the Mediterranean. We're going to see a couple of these particular points throughout this study that bear on these relationships as Paul writes to these Christians whom he so dearly loves. One of the things I want to draw out, though, as we think about this, and we don't know Paul personally. We've seen his ministry. We know he's important. We get a sense of his love for his brothers and sisters in Christ. But what we should note is that these slave authors aren't the primary authors or the only authors, because this is the Word of God. It's the authoritative Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so it comes to us as such, with authority. And that's why I said we can read other people's mail, because it is intended for us, that we should pay careful attention to it, that we should hear with open ears, that this word might be planted deeply in our hearts. Well, let's look in the second place at the saint recipients. At our home, we regularly get mail addressed to other people. As I included in my introduction, recently I got an email addressed to someone else. Maybe all these kinds of questions come into mind as you've experienced something similar. Why did I get this? Who is this person? Who's the intended recipient? What are they like? What are they involved in? Who are they? Well, perhaps you have those kinds of questions as we look at the letter of Philippians. Who are these Philippians, and why are they getting a letter from Paul and Timothy? Maybe from that mail that you get in your mailbox that's addressed to perhaps former residents. Maybe they're involved with ARP or AAA or one organization or another. And so you start to glean what their life was like. You know, they lived in your home prior, and so you have some context in which you could place them. Well, Philippians is a unique city. The citizens there have special privileges. And so as we read through this letter, as we think about the saint recipients, we need to consider some of these factors. Who are they? Why do they have this letter from Paul? What's going on? How do the unique features of this letter bear on their lives? Well, think about it. We looked briefly at some of Acts 16. So let me bring that to your minds once again today. Paul's preaching. He's planting this church, and there's not enough Jewish people to have a synagogue in Philippi. you know, you need 10 men, right, to have a synagogue. And so they go to the river and they find a place of prayer. And you remember who they meet there? Lydia. And then they meet this slave girl who's under the influence of an evil spirit, and she's prophesying, and they cast out this evil spirit. Because of that, they're imprisoned there. And while they're imprisoned there, they meet the Philippian jailer who is converted, and his whole household as well. And so you start to remember, oh yeah, all these people, these are the members of that church in Philippi. These are people who have helped Paul, have contributed support to Paul and his mission. But Philippi is also a really unique city. It was settled by soldiers, given a land grant, given Roman privileges. And so as Paul writes to these citizens, he's going to make a play off of their citizenship in Philippi versus a much better and greater citizenship in the kingdom of God. Isn't that fascinating? As American citizens, we have tremendous privileges, wonderful opportunities, riches untold as a nation, a rich heritage even of constitutional democracy. And yet, this earthly citizenship falls far short of that heavenly citizenship that's ours in Christ Jesus. And so as we think about this address, Paul writes to the saints in Christ Jesus, this takes precedence. Their identity, their location, as it were, spiritually, in this faith union with Christ. Those saints who are in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Do you see the priority here? It's because you are in Christ Jesus that I write to you. You just happen to be in Philippi. You just happen to be citizens there in this Roman city. But let me highlight one more thing here. Paul writes to saints. Isn't that fun? And when he says saints, he doesn't say, there's only one or two of you who are included in that. No, he says to all the saints, that is, every believer in the church in Philippi is a saint. They are the holy ones of God. They are set apart. So we could today receive a letter to the saints in Medford. To all the saints at Cornerstone. That way, that might catch some of the import here. Is that how you consider yourself? As God's holy ones. As those whom he has set apart for himself. With a heavenly citizenship that outstrips every earthly citizenship we can imagine. Again, I want to draw your attention to these individuals and more. Lydia, the Philippian jailer and his family, perhaps this slave girl. But then also, this whole church with the saints, with the overseers and deacons. I think this is the only letter that Paul includes these overseers and deacons in the address. And we have elders, we have deacons, you know, these brothers who serve faithfully and selflessly for the benefit of this congregation. People wonder, well, why did he include them in this address? Well, it could be the elders and the deacons were feeling pretty good about themselves. And Paul said, nope, you're just with the saints there. You're not above the saints. Or it could be that because of the trouble that the church is facing, he said, remember, these are the people that the Lord has used to guide, to serve the church there. These overseers and deacons, these bishops or elders and servants of the Lord included in this greeting. Isn't that beautiful? We recently talked about the church at our Cornerstone lectures. And even in this short verse, we see some of what that looks like. A local church filled with saints, with office bearers, working for the glory of God. working out what that looks like in everyday life with fellow believers, living our lives in the kingdom of God. Well, finally, we look lastly at this standard opening. How much thought do you give when you shoot out an email or a text message? Sometimes it's just one word, nope. Or, hey man, hope you're doing great. You know, we have all these phrases that we might use today, right? But if we're writing a more formal letter, we might say, I hope this, or maybe a note to a close friend, I hope this note finds you well. I hope things are going well for you. In some ways, that's the kind of greeting that Paul brings here. But again, with a particular Christian focus, he greets them with grace. 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 Think about this in the work of Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. Wave after wave of God's grace given to us in Christ Jesus. I love the ocean. And as you stand on the coast, on the shoreline, yes, you have to watch out for those rogue waves, but maybe even that is a picture of that overwhelming grace of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus. Just one after another after another. Paul hints at that. Grace to you. And peace. It's not just a mere common Gentile greeting. These are words bound up with the Christian faith and with Christ himself. Grace to you and peace. You know, peace draws from that Old Testament idea of shalom, this kind of comprehensive well-being. We know that that cannot be without the grace that comes in Christ Jesus. And so these two words are often paired together. Sometimes mercy is included, but the standard opening of Paul typically is grace and peace. Grace to you and peace in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? This is why often as we begin our worship services, we use words such as this, so that as you're coming in, you might know to whom you're coming to worship. And that you might know and be reminded and assured of the reality that as you come before the living God, he proclaims to you grace and peace. You can know that if you trust Christ, that you will not get vengeance, destruction, or judgment, but that you are recipients of his grace and his peace that come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to get a letter like this? Well, of course we have, haven't we? And many more. Many letters that are written to Christ's church, circulated, passed along, passed down from one generation to another. Maybe some of you on this Mother's Day have a practice of looking back at some of the precious treasures that your mother gave to you that were handed down from generation to generation. This is one of those treasures, passed down generation to generation, kept not in a keepsake box, but by the Holy Spirit, by his power, that we might see the beautiful treasure here for us. That we might be instructed in the Word of God. That we might be comforted and encouraged as saints, living together in the kingdom of God as citizens, as we even await a Savior, but also as we have to work it out with one another. To live in peace and unity and humility. Well, these are some of the themes we'll be thinking about this summer as we, the saints of God, living in the grace and the peace that comes from our Father and our Savior, seek to live as Christians in this world. May God bless this study, bless you in the study of his word. We pray in Jesus' name that this would be so. Our Father in heaven, we pray that as you have given us these letters, that we would see them as great treasures written to your beloved people for our instruction, for our comfort, for our exhortation, that we may learn to live with one another in a peace and unity of the Spirit, that we might seek to honor and glorify Christ as Lord. And even as we do so, that we might see how great is your grace. Grace upon grace. Amazing grace. And that we would know that we have a peace that passes all understanding. And that these would keep us in this life, despite the troubles and the trials we face. We pray these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.